So well this evening, but I am thankful for every blessing and thankful for this opportunity. We do welcome you to our worship service tonight, and Brother Tim, myself, Missionary Baptist, we believe in following the Lord, you know, and we need the help of God's Holy Spirit here tonight. If anything good is going to be accomplished in the meeting, and so you pray for me and you follow the Lord. I want to say to the young people tonight, it's just a joy to be here with you, and I appreciate your participation in this worship service tonight, and I pray that you will be blessed. I've been in church my whole life. I don't remember a time when I was not in church. My dad was a pastor of the church I grew up in, and even before he was called in the ministry, he took us to church. He was saved when I was 3 years old in a revival meeting in Kingsport, Tennessee. 450 people were saved. The revival meeting went on all summer long. And I've never seen nor heard anything like it. But we're still serving the same God. That revival meeting changed my father's life, but it not only changed his life, it changed the lives of his entire family. And I was raised in church, weaned on the gospel. I'm thankful we didn't have deacons meetings back then, because I probably would have had to go. But anyway, it's always good to be in church, and I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I do need your prayers. I want to read just a couple of verses found in the sixth chapter of the book of Jeremiah this evening, Jeremiah chapter 6, and before I read those verses, I'd like to say just a couple of things. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Kenya. And I went on this trip with a good bit of trepidation. I didn't know what to expect. But I can't stand here tonight and express to you the spiritual blessing that I received from going on that mission trip. Brother Tom Olande had come to Huntingdon along with Brother James Jones, and if Brother James has told you all this stuff, then just ignore what I'm saying. I'm sure he shared with you his experiences in Kenya. But young people, listen. Having grown up in church, having been in church my entire life, I was not taught when I was younger that as God's creation, and as human beings, we are God's creation, and God has expectations of us. Beyond that, as Christians, as believers, you know, we have a responsibility to God, and I was not taught that I had any responsibility to go anywhere and really do anything for the Lord, you know. And certainly to go on a mission trip like this was not in our, it just wasn't in our parameters, you know, to even think about such a thing. But I want to encourage you, as you have been engaged in this service tonight here in singing, in whatever, you know, as young children growing up in church, you can pray, you know, and we encourage you to pray. We want you to pray, and we want you to sing praises to the Lord. And, you know, if God impresses you to testify, you know, stand up and testify, tell what is on your heart, what God has done in your life. You know, it is why we're here. And I want to encourage you also that if you ever have the opportunity, you know, to go anywhere on a mission trip for the Lord, by all means, go. And for all of you children of all ages, we take our vacations, you know, and we'll go to Florida, or we'll go to the mountains, or we'll go some place where, you know, we can enjoy the benefits of this present world. I want to challenge you, you know, take a vacation and go to Kenya, go to Jamaica, go somewhere where the work of the Lord is going on. While we were there, young people would literally stop us and ask us, tell us something about Jesus. Tell us something about the Lord. We want to hear about the Holy Spirit. And there's a hunger there. There is a desire in their hearts to know anything about God. And what a glorious privilege it is to preach to people who are hungry. Amen. For the Word of God. I get to preach to a lot of people that are half asleep. Not pointing any fingers tonight. I told Sister Angie, no sleeping tonight. I've done that, but it is such a different feeling. And you know, the things that hinder us here. We were in Nairobi in a little concrete block building. And it wasn't much bigger than a garage. And in that garage, there were 30-some people in there. They used these little plastic lawn chairs that you buy at Walmart. I'm sure you've seen it. Nakumat, it's called in Kenya. And that's their church pews there. And I had the opportunity to preach this day with an interpreter. And that was a challenge in itself. And when I finished preaching, they literally stacked up the lawn chairs and set them over beside the wall. And they brought out some little square, looked like crates of some sort. And they put a mat on the concrete floor. And this is after I'd been preaching the gospel and extended an invitation. And, you know, we think that if anything, if there's a break in the service anywhere, that's going to be a hindrance. But it didn't hinder them. They stacked up all the chairs. They brought the tables out. They put a mat on the floor and they started singing. And the altar literally filled with people seeking the Lord. And three young teenagers testified that they were saved that day. I stood there amazed. You know, I worry about every little thing that's not in place that maybe it will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. God isn't hindered by anything.
Amen.
Amen. And we just need to trust the Lord. And it was a glorious, wonderful experience. And I would challenge all of you, if you have the opportunity, go to the Holy Land. Spend whatever you can to go there. It is a $1 million trip.
Amen.
It will bless your soul. But go to Kenya. Go and give yourself to the Lord and allow Him to use you for His honor and glory. Now, while we were there, we went on an African safari. And young people tonight, I want to talk to you about a safari. Safari is Swahili for journey. I want to take you on a journey tonight with the help of the Lord. And my journey tonight is called the Way of Life. The Way of Life. On this safari, we rolled up to the gate. And the safari guide came out and he put a safari hat on every one of us. Little green hat, and it said, Hakuna Matata. On the front of the hat. Man, we were thrilled to death. Can we keep them? You know, do we get to wear this safari hat? Yeah, you could keep the hat. A few minutes later, when the bus started rolling, he came out and said, that'd be 1,000 shillings. It's about $20 a piece for the hat. Hakuna Matata is also Swahili. It means no problem. No problem. And wouldn't it be grand tonight if we had no problems? No problems. When life is at its best, we have a huge problem. It's called sin. Sin. In the Bible, God's inspired word says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It also tells us the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's the reason why I said last night, every one out of every one of us is going to die. I know in revival meetings we talk an awful lot about death, but I want to tell you tonight, our message is about life.
Amen.
It is about life.
Yes. Amen.
Adam sinned against God, and sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But glory to God, the message in the very beginning is a message of life. God did not leave Adam alone when he transgressed the law. Adam hid himself in the bushes of the garden. But God came and found him. He knew exactly where he was. He called out to the man, "Where art thou?" He knew where he was. He just wanted Adam to acknowledge the fact where he was. And if you will acknowledge to yourself and to God tonight that you are a sinner, there's hope for you.
Amen.
You can be saved. And he came to him with a message of life. The seed of the woman, the virgin born seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is able to take care of that huge problem.
Amen.
And every other problem.
Yeah.
Now we're going to live life here and we're going to have trials and difficulties, of course. And we're not spared all the sickness and the things that happen here. There's war, there's violence, and it happens to the good as well as to the evil. It's the world that we're living in. But the good news of God is that he has made a way for us to overcome this troubled world and to live with him forever. Hakuna Matata. We love those hats. And we had a good time on that African safari. You know, the lion, that's from the Lion King. Those words, Hakuna Matata, is from the Lion King. The female lion is the killer of the species. The male lion, he's bigger and stronger, but it's the female that's really the killer. Safari is a journey. We're on a journey tonight, all of us. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. In the book of Deuteronomy, God brought Israel to the promised land. God had promised Abraham 400 years before. He called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He said, "Abraham, I want you to follow me." And kids, tonight, listen, that is the message of God for you tonight.
Amen.
Follow God.
Amen.
Put your faith and trust in the Lord. God spoke to Abraham and he said, "Abraham, I want you to leave your home. I want you to leave your family. I want you to follow me to a place that I'm going to show you later." God didn't even reveal to Abraham where he was going, what the destination was. And the Bible tells us that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God.
Amen.
But he believed and he followed God faithfully. And he went out looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham followed the Lord, and the Lord brought him to Canaan. And God told him, he said, "Abraham, I want you to walk up and down in the land now, north and south and east and west." And he said, "Wherever the sole of your feet rests," he said, "I'm going to give you that land." And it was a good land. The Bible says it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a symbolic land. And the promise that God is offering to you tonight is a land, a life that is literally, spiritually flowing with milk and honey.
Amen.
You can choose to live your life without God if you want to do that. God isn't going to force himself on you. But I promise you this, God will come to you in life. He will bring conviction to your heart. He will show you the way. He will persuade you. He will bring conviction to your heart. He will lead you in the direction that He wants you to go. And if you're wise, you'll be like Abraham, and you'll put your faith and trust in Him, and you'll follow wherever He leads. Now listen, God brought Israel back to the promised land. They were down in Egypt in slavery, and God rescued them from that slavery. That's what salvation is tonight. It is a deliverance. It is a rescue from the power of sin in our life. Amen. And God is able to do that. And He brought Israel to the very border of the promised land, and He was about to take them in there, and He tells them in the book of Deuteronomy, "See, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." He said, "Choose life, that it may be well with you and with your children after." That is what God is able to give you if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. We took the bus out into this wildlife refuge there in Kenya. It was called Tsavo, I believe. And there we saw all of these wild African animals. But in that bush country of Africa, you see the pathway of the great African elephant as he comes through the bush country down to the watering hole. You see the path in the soil where they've been walking for ages. The African elephants come this way, and the African water buffalo comes another way, but they come down to the watering hole where they find life. And I want to tell you, God brought Israel to the promised land, and he tells them, "I have set before you life and death." And He tells them, "These are the commandments." And He commands them to keep these commandments because they are ordained to life. And He said, when you go in there, He said, "Beware lest you forget me." And it's important tonight that we remember God and that we seek Him early in our life and put our faith and trust in Him and live the life that God wants us to live.
Amen.
In the book of Jeremiah, in the 6th chapter, the first verse, the prophet Jeremiah, speaking for God, says, "O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a sign of fire in Beth Hakkerem, for evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction." Now listen. Israel did exactly what God warned them not to do. They went into this land flowing with milk and honey. They lived in houses they didn't build. They lived in cities they didn't build. They harvested crops from fields that they didn't plant. And God literally made them wealthy. And they went in there and they immediately turned their back on God and they forgot the right ways of the Lord. They began to seek after idol gods and to sin against the Lord again. And for years and years and years, God sent men, prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the minor prophets, Amos and Habakkuk and all of the others to preach to them and tell them about the good news of God and the ways of righteousness. God was reminding them about the way of life. He said, "Listen, I've set before you life and death. It is a life and death choice for you to seek God and put Him first in your life." Benjamin was the youngest of Jacob's sons, the last of Jacob's sons. The tribe of Benjamin was the smallest of the tribal families of Israel. Jerusalem was a city within this geographic area of Benjamin. And God is telling us here, it doesn't make any difference who you are. You don't have to be somebody of great stature. You don't have to be of some great importance. You don't have to accomplish anything tremendous in this life to be a somebody. Listen, the good news of God, the gospel, is for great and small, rich and poor, bond and free. It's for everybody. And praise the Lord, you know, we have access to the God of heaven no matter who we are. And God was sending this message to Benjamin, the smallest, a little tribe in Israel. Jerusalem was there. Jerusalem was the religious, spiritual capital of Israel. God was calling upon people who should have known the truth. and warning them about judgment to come.
Yes.
In the 16th verse of this same chapter, Jeremiah said, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But the people said, "We will not walk therein." They made a conscious decision that they're not going to follow God. They're not going to keep His commandments. God said, "I have set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet." But they said, "We will not hearken." "Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, and He made every living thing. In the beginning, God made the great beast that walks upon the field. God made the fish that swim in the sea. God made the fowls that fly through the air. And every one of those living creatures continues to this day in the way that God put them in. The African elephant, he's still walking the same pathway that he walked in the very beginning of time. The migratory birds that fly through the air, for thousands of years they've flown the same routes. They don't even know why. There's just something in them, and they're still in the way. And the migratory fish, they do the same thing. And they'll die. They'll literally die trying to follow that same migratory route. I want you to understand tonight that man, the only creature that was made in the image and likeness of God, man is the only one that has rebelled from the way that God put him in.
That's right.
In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet tells us, God speaking through him, he said, "The ox knoweth his master and the ass his master's crib." But he said, "My people do not understand." The ox and the ass, by the way, dumbest animals on the earth. They're proverbially dumb. But they know their owner.
Amen.
They know their master. But we who have been made in the image and likeness of God, we who are capable with communicating with the eternal spirit, God says they don't even consider. They don't even take it into account that I have made them and I have blessed them and I have given them this land that flows with milk and honey. Listen to me tonight. You know, God has blessed this nation of America. He has literally crowned our good, you know, from sea to shining sea with every good thing imaginable. We have lived in this land and we have been free to follow our own conscience and to do whatever we would like to do. And we're blessed and our pockets are filled with the wealth of this world. More and more today, men are choosing to turn their back upon God. When we were in Kenya, I overheard Brother Tom and someone talking about the Rift Valley. And it awakened my interest. I said, "Rift Valley," I said, is that near here?" Brother Tom said, "Yeah, it's just outside of town." "Can we go there?" He said, "Yeah, we can." We drove just outside of Nairobi to the Rift Valley. My interest in going there is because modern science has determined that that is the birthplace of humanity. This great Rift Valley, it stretches all the way up through Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, I don't know how far. Thousands of miles this valley stretches out. Paleontologists, geologists have determined that is where human civilization began. I want to tell you, they're wrong.
Amen.
You know, if you come to a conclusion in your mind, and you get to searching somewhere for for evidence, some corroboration of that idea, you're likely to find it somewhere. You'll find something that will convince you of what you've already formulated in your mind is right. And that's exactly what science has done. Science has dubbed this human race Homo sapien, wise man. But the wise man, searching around in the Rift Valley, has found Homo erectus, some ancient creature that they believe is literally the missing link between the ape hominid and the human hominid, if that makes any sense. Science believes that we're just like apes. That's what's being taught these days in our country and around the world. And they're telling the world that human civilization began in the Rift Valley. It did not. It began in Eden, where God planted a garden, and that Eden was over toward Mesopotamia in Iraq. Science has brought us all kinds of wonderful things. But I want to tell you, when it comes to evolution, science is just wrong.
Amen.
They're just wrong. And if they won't tell you this in their carbon dating system, that it is based on a wild assumption that radiocarbon, it deteriorates over a period of about 97 billion years. I don't know how they figured that out, but they did. It's a guess.
Amen.
It's an absolute guess. And from that guess, they determine that Homo erectus is 1.7 million years old, and they've constructed this whole human kind of looking creature out of an almost complete cranium. I almost laughed when I read it. An almost complete cranium. You know what that is? It's just a portion of your skull bone back here. And from that almost complete cranium, they've constructed this whole creature and called it the missing link. Unbelievers cannot believe the God that we describe from the Bible. They'll quote the Bible to prove their point. Oh, God is a God of love. Amen. 1 John tells us that our God is a God of love. But that very same Bible, if they'll look a little further, it will tell you that God is angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
The word wicked, by the way, it doesn't mean just sinful, evil, ugly. Theologically, the word wicked means wrong. God is angry with people who are wrong every day. And looking for evidence to prove their idea that we're all just animals and that we just live here for a little while and we're going to pass away and that's going to be the end. They found their evidence in the Rift Valley with this partial cranium. And they're passing off on the world that we evolved from monkeys, when God's Word tells us that God made us.
Amen.
Made us like Him. Made us spiritual to live forever. Gave us intelligence. Solomon in the Old Testament, he said, "This only have I seen, that God made man upright."
Amen.
Adam walked uprightly in the beginning. We do not belong to the monkey family. In the book of Proverbs, the Word of God tells us there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I'll tell you what, it makes a whole lot more sense to me to believe the Word of God.
Amen.
Than to believe science, no matter how sophisticated they might appear to be. No matter how strong the arguments they present to us to prove their way. And brothers and sisters, we need to do our homework and we need to homeschool our children on the Word of God. I'm not saying you need to take them out of school, but I'm telling you, you need to do your homework and you need to train your children in the way that they should go. And that way is to follow the Lord in the way of life, this safari, this journey of life that God has called us to. One more verse and I'm going to close. These animal creatures, Every last one of them. Every single one of them are following in the way that God put them in. Man is the only one that's got out of the way. If you've got a little dog at home in a backyard, that little dog will just nearly wear a path out in your yard, walking the same pathway. It's their nature. If you've ever done any deer hunting and go out into the woods, you'll find those deer run the same route all the time. You can go out there with a gun or a bow and arrow. You can chase them out of the way. But I promise you, it won't be very far down the road. They'll be right back in that same way. They'll come right back to it. Man is the only species that has turned out of the way. And God and his prophet Jeremiah were calling on Israel, stop. Just stop and look. Look at all the ways that are in the world. Look for the old path where the good way is and walk therein and you'll find rest for your soul. Our generation is turning away from the old way. This old Bible, they say, is unreliable. You can't trust it. It's been copied too many times. But I'm telling you, God inspired the Word. God protected the Word. And God has put it into our hands. And it is reliable. It is the truth. And it will save your soul if you will believe it.
Amen.
Beyond that, God is still calling men to preach the Word. There are preachers here tonight. God bless you. Preach on, brothers. It's not going to get any easier. My dad told me some 40 years ago, nearly, son, it's not going to get any easier. And you know what? His words were prophetic. It hasn't. It's harder today than it's ever been. But we must preach on because the preaching of the cross, it's foolishness to them that perish, but to those that will believe it, it's the power of God and the salvation of God. It's the wisdom of God. Stop. Slow down a little bit in your life and just take a long, hard look at all the ways there are to go. But look for the old way. Look for the good way. And get in it and you'll find rest, spiritual rest for your soul. Jeremiah 6 and verse 29. The prophet said, the bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire, the founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Now the idea here, Jeremiah was using an illustration that everybody in his day would have been familiar with. They'd all probably been down to the blacksmith shop a time or two. They've watched them melt the metal in the forge. They've watched them hammer out the instruments, maybe a plowshare or something of that nature. And they've watched them stoke up the flame with a bellows. You know, they used to have these little small handheld bellows that you would use on your fireplace. You squeeze them and it forces air out and it'd blow into the fire. And you'd see those coals just turn red hot. Listen, God has called men to preach the Word. By those men, God has used them as bellows. To stoke up the fire in the hearts and lives of people that are listening to the Word of God. God in the book of Jeremiah, I believe about the 29th chapter, says, is not my Word like a fire? I'm telling you, when God's Word gets inside of your heart, it's like a raging fire. It burns. It's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's painful. It cuts and it wounds. But I tell you what, if you will trust in God, that same Word that wounds the heart and wounds the conscience, it will bring life to your soul.
Amen.
The bellows are burned. I believe a good illustration of that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace down in Babylon. The book of Daniel says that Nebuchadnezzar heated the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. And the way he did that likely was the bellows, using some kind of bellows to blow air on the fire. And the fire just kept getting hotter and hotter and hotter. It killed the men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. But they went into the fire with the Lord and they came out with the Lord. And I don't care whatever trial that we face here in this life. If you go into it with the Lord, you'll come out with the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's able to deliver us from every trial, every tribulation that we can imagine. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. God wore Jeremiah out preaching the word. They didn't listen to Isaiah, and God wore him out preaching the word. I believe his ministry spanned some 60 years preaching this same message to Israel. Ezekiel, the minor prophets, God used them to turn the fire up on people that had hardened their hearts against God. Listen, you might not like the preaching of the gospel tonight. But if you don't like it in this world, God help that you should go to the next world without believing and trusting in the Lord. The gospel will burn in your soul forever. The hammer of the gospel, that God's word, it will pound in your heart forever and forever. You'll not escape it then. God is sending his word to you. And I know it's painful sometimes. I know what it's like. It was painful for me when I was lost and undone. I know what it's like to sit in church and being lost and hear the preacher preaching about hell and destruction. It frightened me. But it frightened me enough that I wanted to do something about it. And one Thursday night, in a revival meeting in Toledo, Ohio, I had carried the burden of sin just as far as I could go. I called on the Lord that night, "Oh God, save me." And after that little prayer that came from the heart, God spoke peace to my soul. I've been saved ever since. Praise the Lord. We're all on a journey tonight. My journey is going to lead me to those pearly gates and those streets of gold. It's going to lead me right to the very throne of God, where I will gladly bow before my Lord and Savior and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for rescuing this unworthy sinner." Bless God, that is the message that God is offering to you tonight. It is the journey of a lifetime. It is the way of life. God is calling to you tonight. "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. If any man thirst," Jesus said, "let him come to me and drink. Turn ye, O Israel, for why will you die?" Come to the Lord tonight. Come to the Lord tonight. He'll save your soul. Listen, those young children over there in Kenya, they didn't let anything hinder them. I never saw anything like it in my life. I don't know when I've been in a church meeting, a revival meeting, in many, many, many years, to see people just flock in the altar and forget about everything and start calling on the Lord. They stay in church all day long too. They don't just listen to one little puny sermon, Brother Tim. They just preach on all through the day. They can't get enough of it. God bless you tonight. The way of life God has revealed to all of us. Seek the Lord. Get in that way. Live for Jesus. He will bless your life. Seek him tonight while we sing.